Dr. Sheila Gilhaney, Policy Advisor at the Institute of Physics in Ireland. Doctor, good morning to you.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
Thank you very much for taking the call, because you're going to explain to me now what this headline means. China sets new record for quantum entanglement en route to build new communications network. Are we reinventing here the internet wheel?
Well, it's certainly a big development in terms of a means of communicating across large distances in a very secure fashion. The Chinese have certainly made an immense movement forward, because this phenomenon previously was only able to be done over maybe a few hundred kilometres, and they've actually brought it up to now over 1,200 kilometres. So it's a very significant increase in what they've been able to achieve.
And what are they actually achieving, albeit over a longer distance?
Well, what they have done is they have put a laser into space, and they have got the laser to produce a thing called quantum entanglement. So basically, they have produced light up in space. They have diverted that light to two different places on Earth, say a point A and a point B. And the light that has appeared at point A is mysteriously connected to the light that's also then detected at point B. And these are, say, they're connected now across a very large distance, 1,200 kilometres. And it's something that Einstein described as spooky action at a distance, that when the piece of light that's at point A, when something happens to it, instantaneously the same thing in reverse happens to the other particle way across hundreds of kilometres away. And it's known as, a thing called quantum entanglement. These two particles are very intimately connected in a way that Einstein wasn't really quite sure. Could it actually be done? Was it really a real phenomenon? Did it exist? But a guy from Belfast, actually, a fellow called John Bell, about 50 years ago, he kind of worked through the maths of it and, you know, came to the conclusion that, yes, it was something that could happen. And we've been able to see it now on small distances here on Earth, maybe over a few, you know, a few metres, then a few tens of metres, then hundreds of metres, and now it's been demonstrated over 1,200 kilometres. And it brings with us, I suppose, a capacity to be able to transmit data in a very secure fashion, because if you encoded your data that you would like to send by an email, wrapped up in this quantum entanglement, you can make absolutely sure that nothing can happen to it by means of this phenomena.
So how is A and B connected?
That's the question.
So they've done it, but we haven't got round to it.
Yes, we don't quite know. It's something that drops out of quantum mechanics. We know that in the production of the these photons of light, we know that they are intimately connected. But until we actually observe the particle, say, at A, we don't know what that particle exactly is. If we were thinking of it in terms of, say, socks that had just sort of fallen out of a tumble dryer, there could be a whole mixture, reds, yellows, greens, blues. But until we actually look at the particular sock and determine, yes, this is definitely a red sock, and then we look at the other, you know, its partner across the globe, and we see, oh, yes, it's a red sock too, and it is linked in this particular way of the same kind. But we don't know that it is a red sock until we look at it.
Do we have control where A and B is yet?
Yes, we can, because that is what certainly the Chinese have done.
Cool.
They have placed it very accurately. We put them in, the detectors were placed in particular locations. And it's a very big step forward, because when we were doing this on the ground, we had to use fibre optic cable. And as the signal was, as the light was being transferred across the cable, it was attenuating. It was kind of being decimated as it was going down. So the further it went, the less signal basically that would come up. But by travelling through space, which is in a vacuum, actually use significantly reduce the amount by which the entanglement can actually be dissipated.
These are dots and dashes, I presume, effectively. There's no suggestion that this could ever, or is there, open up, you know, transporting physical matter like this?
Not quite. We can, there is a phrase, actually, quantum teleportation, and it does sort of...
You know, I didn't want to use that word, Sheila, you see.
But we're not really quite at that point yet. What we are transmitting is, indeed, as you say, it's a dot or a dash. It's a photon in a particular you know, state of being, and it does have this effect where, you know, if something happens to it in one place, instantaneously in another place, its partner will react in a way that's matched to it. So it's a means, actually, of more of cryptography than anything else. It allows us to securely transmit data.
Right, so just maybe the difference then between me and you on Skype, you know, you're, say, in Dublin and I'm in Donegal. What would be the difference between the fact that, you know, we're interacting in two different places like that using a physical sort of a connection that's in existence now versus if me and you perhaps were sort of engaging in point A and point B using sort of this system?
I think the main thing is the security element of it. So if you were actually trying to transmit a very sensitive piece of information, you wanted to email me about, who knows, about bank accounts or something that you didn't want somebody to know about. Or
send you a tenner or something, yeah.
something like that. What you would actually be doing is, if you use this method, you know, a lot of communications can actually be, you know, hacked into. Mm-hmm. But if you were to try and hack into this particular system, you would actually destroy the message because you would know immediately that something had happened to it. The act of looking at it would destroy the message, and it's more about this very secure method of transmission rather than about how clear the communication is. It's more about the security of it.
Now, when we sort of when the internet was invented, it's what we use it for now is very different as to why it was invented, I suppose. Do you see this being a similar situation and moving as quickly as we saw with the internet that we know now?
It's always a thing with fundamental physics that you don't know where it's actually going to lead you. You know, 50 years ago, the laser was invented, 55 years now, and we didn't know then that we could be using it in shops for barcodes and, you know, things like that. So, again, as I say, with the internet, it was invented as a means of communication to allow scientists at CERN to be able to share their data with other people in a quick manner. What we do with that data and how we actually manipulate it, that's a whole other field, and that's where other people, I suppose, get interested and said, oh gosh, here's a new tool. What can I actually do with this tool?
Say, for instance, you know, in terms of long distance space travel, if we were to communicate with, I don't know, if it were probes or indeed, you know, manned missions to places very, very far away, I imagine there's a time lag with current communication methods. Would something like this move much quicker? Like, is there a speed to it, you know, if it were to sort of aid in sort of long distance space exploration?
There's a very deep question, actually, within physics. Certainly, at the moment, there has been a law which says you can't move faster than the speed of light. But in this phenomena, it does sort of appear as if the speed of light is being exceeded, you know, because of this instantaneous thing that if something happens in one place, it is automatically affects something else in another place. We're still getting to grips with that, and whether that would actually have any sort of implication for interspace travel or something like that. We're very much at the early stages, but you know, who knows? Maybe there's wormholes. Maybe there's strange things out there that will allow us to travel much faster in the future.
Wormholes. Why did you start on wormholes? Now we have to wrap it up. It's all incredibly fascinating, I think, if I understand it correctly. Dr. Sheila Gilheeney, thank you so much for coming on the program.
You're very welcome.